So I'm going to start tonight talking about light. It's kind of a cool environment in here, actually. You know, I'm used to like Sunday morning, and this cool because the sun is going down. You get this really cool light coming in the windows here. This is brilliant. I love light. It's a really interesting subject to think about. And years ago, let me ask this first, because let's get vulnerable a minute. Anybody afraid of the dark? Okay, a few of us, right? Yep. I don't know if you've ever been in a really, really, really dark place. Like, I'm kind of afraid of the dark if I hear bump goes in the night, you know? Like, I'm okay until I'm, like, home alone and nobody's around and then there's a sound. And, you know, you've heard this, right? And something happens or you get that phone call and then the person hangs up, and it always happens when you're alone and it's dark, right? I'm not going to tell you that story. Another time. Too vulnerable. Because I just met you. There's these times we get afraid, and when it's really, really dark, I get afraid sometimes. We went to Mammoth Caves years ago. My family was coming back from somewhere, and we stopped, and we spent some time in Mammoth. Anybody been to Mammoth Caves? Okay, so maybe you've had this experience, because they probably do it with everybody, but we go way, way, way down, you know, and it's really cool. We're seeing the stalactites and the stalagmites and all that kind of stuff, and then we get in, and there's lights everywhere, you know, these kind of lights set up on stands and on the walls, and you get way down below, and you get in this big cavern, and they gather you around, and then they talk to you, and they go, okay, we're going to turn off the lights, and you're like a mile underneath the earth, and like you thought you saw dark before when you were in your bedroom and it was quiet and nobody was home, but then you get in there and they shut off the light and they ask you, if you haven't been, they ask you to put your hand in front of your face, so you have to wait a little bit because your eyes have to adjust. So I remember like waiting, it felt like 3 years, but it was probably 30 seconds, you know, let my eyes adjust, and I literally like put my hand and I hit my nose because I couldn't see my hand at all. I couldn't see anything at all. And then they turn the lights back on, and it's like you're blinded. You know, light's a fascinating thing. I went to Michigan State University. Don't boo or yay. Well, we got a yay back. I saw you have the Michigan State mask on today. I also worked at the University of Michigan for 8 years as a college pastor. So I'm kind of like, I always root for whoever's winning. Why not, right? Fair weather friend. But when I was in college, I had to take a science class. And in high school, I was a pretty good student. I did all right in high school, except for science. Biology, no. I had more fun pulling pranks in biology than anything else. I was not a good student in biology. Chemistry, makes no sense to me at all. I don't understand. Give me math or give me literature or something, like I'm fine, but chemistry, biology, that stuff makes no sense to me. So I'm in college, and I have to, for my requirements, I have to take a class. So I'm going through, you know, the book on all the classes, trying to figure out which classes I'm assigned. Back then, we used a book to go through our classes. We didn't get online. I know, it's weird, but I'm old. So I'm going through the book trying to figure out, and they had this class that was called Physics of Light and Color. And I'm like, that sounds really cool. I read the description, and it was all about how light works. It was all about how color works and how the world is illumined by light. You see, light changes how you see things. Now, a lot of you, anybody on Instagram? If you can raise your hands, okay. I'm on Instagram. You're on Instagram and you take that picture of yourself and you're like, yeah, I don't like that light, right? So you go to the filter and you change the light and you shift everything around because light changes things, right? The ambiance in here is different than if you would be here on a Sunday morning because the light is different. And light, if you get into it, light is fascinating. And this is, again, physics of light and color. So one of the things that blew my mind, I'm going to blow your mind tonight, I hope, okay? Maybe with the scripture, but with physics of light and color, for sure. Did you know that color, like things don't actually have a color? Like I'm getting a little bit philosophical and metaphysical on you here. Things don't actually have a color. Color is kind of an illusion of sorts. And this is what I learned in this physics, and I was like, mind blown. Because what happens is you've got white light, right, which is coming out of these up here, and white light hits a particular kind of surface, which has different bumps on it, different, you know, contact, all that kind of stuff, and it bounces off, and white light splits into other colors and creates the illusion to your eye, which is processed by your brain, as color. It's this fascinating thing that doesn't really exist. You take the light away and things don't have color anymore. Color is a figment of your imagination. In fact, I remember realizing that in this class that the sky isn't blue. Did you know that? The sky's clear. You can see right through it, right? There's nothing between us and space. You see, at night, all of a sudden, right, you can see through and you can see the skies. But the sky looks blue to you, but it's an illusion because it's white light being broken by the water molecules, and it bends and splits the white, and you see blue. And then, like, that's during the day, and then you go out to the beach at night, and the light's bent a little bit differently because of where the sun is and where you are, and it hits off the different particles in different ways, and the thing turns red and orange and brilliant colors. Light's fascinating. You can see I love this class. Actually, it was the first science class I ever did well in because it was, like, really interesting to you. But here's the other thing about light. Light allows you to see really important things in your life. Anybody ever fallen in love? I won't make you raise your hand on that one, okay? Unless you're with your spouse, you know, then you can, like, look at each other. And you wouldn't be able, without light, you wouldn't be able to look deeply into each other's eyes. You know, if you have kids, you know, the brilliance of a child's eyes when they look at you for the first time. I was just talking to a friend of mine. He became a father this year, and I was asking him how it's going. He's like, well, a lot better now. And I'm like, what happened now? He's like, the baby woke up. I'm like, what are you talking about? The baby noticed me, you know? And this little child of his, little boy, began to look at him in the eyes. Well, you wouldn't have any of that if you didn't have light. You wouldn't be able to see beautiful artwork. You wouldn't be able to see all the wonderful, beautiful things. You wouldn't be able to see Lake Michigan on the end of a perfect summer day and go, whew. I mentioned the Annapurna Range. I was actually in Nepal with the Hevmans. We were doing some church planting stuff there. And we took 2 days to rest in this beautiful place near the Annapurna Range, which is in the Himalayas. And we got up one morning really early, like 3:30 in the morning, and we went all the way up this mountain to the very top, and we went with hundreds of people, actually, up onto the top of this little kind of, I don't even know, it was like a little mountain kind of a thing. And we're all standing up there, people from all races and colors and religions, and, you know, there's Buddhists and Hindus and maybe a few Christians there. And, you know, we're all standing, and it's you know, everybody's kind of buzzing, and then it gets kind of quiet, and then it's quiet, and then the sun peeks out over the Himalayas, and I kid you not, there was a collective gasp. It was like, you know, we talk about the spirit is this breath, this ruach is the Hebrew word, it's this breath in us. I heard the ruach of God in that moment by people who wouldn't name the God that we know, but they knew in that moment when the light broke over the Himalayas, there was this collective, you can ask Roger, am I telling the truth? Absolutely. It was amazing. It was one of the most holy moments I've been a part of. When you think about God, I just wonder what comes to mind. What comes to mind? Some of us have had not a great experience at church. Maybe you're here because somebody coaxed you into coming, but you have kind of this bad relationship with the church because somebody hurt you. And that maybe they taught you about a God that isn't the real God, and you've got this picture of an abusive God in your mind. You've got this picture of a God who is just not the God of the Bible. I wonder what you think about. Maybe you think of an angry God. Maybe you think of a distance God. Maybe you think of a God who doesn't care about you or your feelings or what's going on or what's happening in your life. But there's an interesting, because I love light. There's this interesting thing about the Bible. Bible talks about God as light all the time. I mean, I didn't count. I probably should have done that. I didn't count, but light shows up all over the place. What if the people who are writing the Bible that God is inspiring to do that is trying to help you to catch a different kind of glimpse of who God is by talking about this light? This light that breaks through into the world and all of a sudden splits and becomes different colors, and all of a sudden you can see in someone's eyes and you see a sunset. Or you go out at night. I went out the other night because I had this big dog, this big black lab, or black, not white. Earlier one's black, this one's white. Sorry, it's a white lab. Which, do you know that white lab isn't a real thing? It's actually a yellow lab that's just the wrong color. Anyway, I digress. big yellow lab who's white, name's Jasper. Take Jasper outside. Always wants to go out just at, like, you know, as I'm about to go to bed, Jasper wants to go outside. And it's like 11:30 at night, and it was one of those cold, crisp nights we had a couple nights ago. And I went outside, and the sky, I was like, I could see through the universe, you know, and it was these pinpricks of light there. What if God is trying to tell us through the Bible that there's something just unexplainably powerful about him and his relationship to us that it just takes our breath away? Listen to some, I'm going to just read some scriptures to you, okay? Just listen to these. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the earth was formless and void. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. That's how the story starts. How cool is that, right? Darkness covering the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God is hovering over the waters, and he says, let there be light. The Spirit breathes, and there is light. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. Now, some of you, I mean, this has been a really weird year, hard year, a lot of different death. And there's death all over the place, isn't there? I mean, you can't turn on the television without seeing death every moment of every day. You've probably experienced that somehow, maybe more personally than on the television. Maybe it's a loved one who's died. Let me read that one again. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. In him, Jesus, this is from the book of John, in Jesus was life, and that life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Do you feel like sometimes the darkness is winning? Like the darkness is overcoming, it's creeping in, it's coming to get us? No, the Bible says the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light that gives light to everyone, not just a few people, to everyone, was coming into the world, and this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Ah, darn it. God is beautiful, and he brings light out of the darkness, and he splits the world, and he puts the lights in the skies, and he says, no more darkness on my people, no more death on my people. And we go, you know what? I think I'm going to choose the darkness instead. How does that happen every day, right? You've done it, right? You've chosen darkness. I've chosen darkness. And we've seen people choose darkness, and we see what it does. And God says, why? He says, whoever lives by the truth comes into the light and out of the darkness so that it may be seen plainly what they have done and what has been done in the sight of God. Jesus spoke to the people, and he said this, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. While I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world, Jesus says. Believe in the light while you have the light so that you may become children of the light. I have come into the world as light, Jesus says, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. For the God who said, let the light shine out of the darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. Can I get an amen to that? Is that good word or what? I'm just reading you the Bible. I'm just reading you pieces of the Bible. It just gets me excited because I am so dang sick of darkness. I am tired of the darkness. But man, do I long for the light. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. You are all children of light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or the darkness. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of the heavenly lights, and he does not change like the shifting shadows. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful life. Amen. I'm not even that kind of a preacher who asks for amens, but I got it tonight, right? It's right there. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light. In him, there is no darkness at all. One more. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. You see, the Bible, like, I don't know what you think about the Bible. Like, you know, many of us have had bad experiences with the Bible. People have beat us with the Bible. They have hurt us with the Bible. But this thing is beautiful. Because through it comes the light in the midst of a very, very dark world. And Jesus, the light of the world, came into the world so that we would not have to live in darkness. That, at least to me, is good news. So you've probably heard the word gospel before. My job as a preacher, as a pastor, is to preach the gospel. The word gospel, it comes from a Greek word. It's the Greek word evangelion, and it just means good news. It's like the front page of the paper that never is, right? The front page of the paper, the good news that should be that light has come in the midst of the darkness, and God, Jesus in the flesh, who is light, came into the world so that you wouldn't have to live in darkness. So that I wouldn't have to live in darkness. That's the good news. You don't have to live there anymore. You don't have to live in sin. You don't have to live in darkness. You don't have to live in destruction. You don't have to have all that bad stuff happen to you. Okay, so that's my introduction. Okay? You ready to go? I'm going to tell you a story. Okay? This story you've probably seen if you've been to a sports event or if you've watched television, you've seen maybe these numbers. They're famous numbers in the Bible. You know these numbers? And the name, John 3:16. And usually you got a guy like this who's out, this guy's running onto the field and, you know, getting tackled or whatever. When I was in college, regularly, and this happens at most colleges, there's a guy with a placard with this on the placard. And usually it says John 3:16, and then it also tells you you're going to hell, which I really don't understand. But John 3:16 become famous, especially at sport events, and Tim Tebow, right? Maybe you've seen Tim Tebow with it on, you know, on his face. I mean, like, if you don't know what this passage is, you may at least know the numbers. Well, I want to tell you, probably one of the most famous numbers in the scripture publicly, I want to tell you a little bit about the story. And I'm just going to read you two verses to start the story and tell you a little bit about it. This is from John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, before 16, okay? Now, there's a Pharisee. Which is there were different sects, S-E-C-T-S, different people groups among the Jews. So there were Sadducees, Pharisees, scribes. There were a bunch. They were kind of like different clubs almost. They were different. They believed different things. Okay. So the Pharisees. There was a member of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council, and he came to Jesus at night. I find that fascinating. He comes to Jesus at night. Now, Nicodemus is a member of the ruling council. There's a group called the chief priests. So there's priests, and among the priests is this ruling council of priests called the chief priests, and Nicodemus is a part of that group. So this guy's a bigwig. He's one of the guys who makes the decisions. And Jesus comes on the scene, and Jesus is speaking a different kind of gospel. He's saying a different kind of good news, because what the Pharisees were saying was that if you get your life together, if you get things right, if you live the right way, if you do the right things, if you make the right decisions, if you spend your money right, if you go to the right college, if you have the right friends, sounds like your mother-in-law doesn't. Oh, did I say that loud? Shoot. I'm kidding. It's more my mom than it is my mother-in-law. I shouldn't pick on moms either. Anyway, but it's like, you know, sometimes it's like if you just do everything right, you'll be fine. How many of you do everything right all the time? Not me. I make all kinds of mistakes, right? And the Pharisees were saying, well, if you live the right way, if you follow the rules, then God will accept you. Jesus comes along and says, actually, God loves you no matter what. I'm like, well, you can't say that, because then they'll just, you know, Jesus says, no, God loves you no matter what. So Nicodemus, member of the ruling council of this group, is intrigued by this Jesus. He sees a light, but he doesn't want his friends to know. So he comes to Jesus in the midst of darkness. And Nicodemus has all kinds of questions. He's trying to figure this out because he knows the system that he's given his life to doesn't work because he's tried. And if you just try hard and try harder and do better, that's probably going to get you there. And Nicodemus knows it. And so he goes to Jesus under the veil of darkness. And Jesus begins to look into Nicodemus' eyes. I imagine this in my head, you know, and back then they didn't have a light switch they could flick on, right? So I imagine Jesus, you know, lighting a lamp, and I imagine him leaning in and looking Nicodemus right in the eyes and saying, what are your questions? What's going on with you, Nicodemus? Talk to me. Ask me anything you want. Can you imagine that, sitting with Jesus? He probably didn't know that he was the Son of God at the time, but like, I would love to sit across the table from Jesus and just ask him my questions. And Nicodemus gets that experience. And Jesus connects with Nicodemus' deepest desires, looks deep into his soul. He sees his fears. He sees his hope. He sees his joys. And he begins to pull something out of Nicodemus. And I imagine Nicodemus recognizes that Jesus loves him. And something changes in Nicodemus. Because remember, he's a part of the ruling class of this group that says, do better, try harder. But if you read the story on a little bit later, Nicodemus shows up two more times. John chapter 7, so this is John chapter 3. He comes to Jesus in the night under the veil of darkness. Chapter 7, he's with the chief priests. He's with the ruling council, and they want to get rid of Jesus, and they want to kill Jesus because he's undermining what they're telling all the people and how they control the people. And Jesus is undoing this. They want to kill him, and Nicodemus goes, wait a minute. And he stands up for Jesus. Why? Because he catches something in Jesus, or Jesus catches something in him. And then he shows up again in John chapter 19, and here's where he shows up. Jesus is crucified on a cross. The most loving man that Nicodemus has ever met, the man who's never judged him, the man who told him that God loves him, is crucified on a cross. And he and another man named Joseph of Arimathea take the body of Jesus and, weeping, carry that body and put it in a tomb. Because something is wrong and something has had the darkness, right? Nicodemus comes under the cover of night and he thinks he sees a light, and then the darkness seems to begin to creep in. Now, why do I tell you the story of Nicodemus? It's because it's in the middle of this story that John 3:16 shows up. Now let me read you John 3:16, and people often quote John 3:16, but they don't read the rest of it. I want to read you the paragraph that comes after John 3:16. It goes like this. Pay close attention to this, please. For God so loved the world. God didn't try to tell you to give everything right, to follow the rules. No, no, no. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. That's Jesus. Jesus is telling Nicodemus this. That whoever believes in him won't perish, but will have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. I'm just going to stop there, because if you feel like God is condemning you, if you feel like the church is condemning you or the Bible is condemning you, then you haven't met the God of the universe. Because the God of the universe is not a condemning God. Jesus is not a condemning person. God did not send his son into the world to condemn you. No. He did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. That's John 3:16 through 21. Jesus says these words to Nicodemus, who comes to him under the cover of night. Do you see what's happening here? Nicodemus comes under darkness, and Jesus says, come into the light. Come out of whatever you've been in. Come out of condemnation. Come out of rules. Come out of all the stuff that you've been in. Come into the light. Come into the light. God so loves the world that he gave Jesus so that Nicodemus could be saved. But not just Nicodemus. You see, Nicodemus is the story of you, and it's the story of me. It's our story. When Jesus says, God so loved the world, he means you. He's not talking about like the earth. I mean, I got a little picture of the planet right there, right? He's not talking about the physical earth. God loves that too. That's a whole nother sermon. But when Jesus is saying this, he says, God, Nicodemus, God loves all his people. And he loves you so much that Jesus, who is God, who is the light, and the light came for you. You see, John tells this story about Jesus and Nicodemus because he experienced this from Jesus himself. And John tells the story because he wants to pass it on to you and to me and to everybody. So I've been a pastor for a long time now, since 1996. When I first had children, I baptized my children. Now, I don't know how you feel about like infant baptism and adult. It's a whole discussion. We can have that sometime. But anyway, let me tell you about this moment I had with my eldest daughter. First little child that I baptized was my eldest daughter. I held her in my arms, and I have liturgy, which is like the stuff I'm supposed to read for the baptism. But all I can do in that moment is look into her eyes, and I realize at that moment, my daughter's name's Aaliyah. I looked in her eyes and I said, Aaliyah, God so loved the world that he gave his only son for you. And at that moment, I realized as a dad, like I would do anything for my daughter. I would die for her. And God is a father who looks at us as children and says, for you, if you were the only one on the planet, I would do it for you. There's this great passage that I read during baptism. It goes like this. It'll come up on the screen. It's from the book of Acts. The promise, or the good news, is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord will call, for everybody. God loves all of his children. The good news is for my daughter, Aaliyah. The good news is for me. The good news is for you. The good news starts with you, and your response to that good news matters. You see, Jesus is talking to Nicodemus one-on-one, and he's calling him out of the darkness and into the light. Come, Nicodemus. Come on, into the light. The light shines, and you can step into it. It's your choice to come toward me, Nicodemus. I wonder a little bit. So John chapter 3, Jesus challenges Nicodemus. John chapter 7, Nicodemus stands in front of the ruling council and defends Jesus, but doesn't really tell them that he met with Jesus, right? He's not sure. Jesus called me, but I don't know. I don't know if I can say yes yet. Then John chapter 19, I think it is, John chapter 19, when he's with Joseph of Arimathea and he takes Jesus down from the cross. What's going through Nicodemus' mind at that moment? I wish I would have said yes then. Because then maybe I could have said yes to Jesus' face, but now I have to say yes to Jesus' dead body as I put it into the tomb. I wonder, all of us have those moments where Jesus looks us in the eye, whether we realize it or not, and he asks us, will you come into the light? Will you come into the light? There's some questions I want you to wrestle with tonight and after tonight, if it's not just tonight. They're going to come on the screen. Ask yourself these questions. Am I moving towards or away from the light? Maybe you know Jesus, and you've known Jesus for a long time. I've known Jesus since I was a little kid, and that's changed over time, and I've known him in different ways. And there have been seasons in my life, if we have time, had time, I'd tell you them. If you want to get a cup of coffee, I will buy, and I'll tell you my story. There have been many times where I have turned towards the darkness, and I have walked away from Jesus. And they've been the worst times of my life. And there have been times when I've turned and I've run full on towards Jesus, and they've been the best times of my life. Are you moving towards Jesus or away from Jesus, toward the light or away from the light? Are you moving into or out of the light? I want you to wrestle with that question because Jesus is calling you into the light, into more light, into more light. And this is not a one-time decision. This is not something where you sit down and you say a prayer and then all of a sudden you're in the light. Right? This is a daily thing. Jesus, I trust you. Today I'm stepping into your light. There are moments in your life when you have darkness and light in front of you and you're being pulled one way or the other. And we heard the scripture earlier, we chose darkness. There are times when we're torn between those and we need the encouragement of our friends. We need a community who challenges us and says, choose the light. Walk in this way. Walk this direction. These are difficult questions to ask for those of us who are already people who've said yes to Jesus. But I also want to ask you, if you have not said yes to Jesus, if you're Nicodemus and you're asking a bunch of questions, that's okay. I want to invite you to come into the light. We didn't talk about this ahead of time. I didn't know they were doing baptism May 9. That's a tremendous opportunity for you right now, because baptism is a symbol of stepping into the light. It's saying, I want to step into this life with Jesus. I want to step out of darkness. And frankly, this is the only reason we do what we do here, is because light is the way of God. And it's not just giving your heart over to Jesus. It's actually giving your whole life. It means that things like justice and feeding kids and treating people well, speaking well to others, doing good in the world, all that stuff is in the light. It's that daily decision. And I want to invite you to do that. I did that a long time ago, and then I did it again, and then I did it again. And every day I have to give myself back to Jesus. If you've never done that, I want to invite you to do it. And if you want to talk about that, Jordan would love to, Julie would love to, Roger would love to. There's many people here who would love to. I would love to sit down with you. I'll take as long as it takes to answer the questions that you have, just like Jesus did with Nicodemus. And I want you to hear clearly tonight that the call to come into the light is not a condemnation. It's an invitation. No one's here to condemn your darkness. The darkness is condemning enough of itself. And you feel it, right? I mean, I feel it. When I've chosen darkness, there's shame there, there's guilt there, there's all the destruction there, there's all the negative consequences of the poor decisions that I've made. The darkness has enough problems of its own. Jesus says, you don't have to live that way. You can choose to follow me and to walk in my way. Over the next couple weeks, we just started a series tonight, in case you didn't catch it, called For the Sake of the World. We sang the song, starting a series called For the Sake of the World. And over the next couple of weeks, we're going to unpack a verse, and this sermon comes out of that verse. So I'm ending with the sermon for the series, okay? This is the verse. It comes from the first chapter in Acts, which is right after, it's right at the time that Jesus is leaving. He's died, he's resurrected, and then he's ascended to heaven. He says this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. It's kind of like there's this explosion of light and it goes out in concentric circles. But it can't go out in concentric circles unless it begins with you. Do you see that? It starts with you. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will hear the good news. You will be invited into the light. It always starts with you. This church is about you, and it's about the community, and it's about the globe, and it's about all that, but it starts with you, and so I don't want to miss this tonight. I want to just ask you very, very clearly, where are you with Jesus? He doesn't condemn you, because he didn't come into the world for that. He came into the world to die and to sacrifice himself so that you could come out of the darkness and into the light. And he says, come. Come. I'm waiting for you. And in him is light and is life and is resurrection and is transformation. I would love to take that journey with you. I know there are many people here who would like to. And if you are a believer and you believe in Jesus and you've been trying to follow him, but you find yourself pulled into darkness, we got to talk about that too. We want to help. I want to say a blessing over you, and then I'm going to pray, and we're going to close with a song. Let me bless you with these words from the scriptures. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up the light of his countenance, that means his face, upon you and give you his peace. And I pray that the light would shine upon you even as it's shining through these windows. God, we pray as the light streams through these beautiful windows tonight. We know that the glow of that light is the power of the Holy Spirit, and that you tell us that we will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on us. And we just imagine right now sitting across from you as Nicodemus did, hearing you say the words that you said to Nicodemus. Nicodemus, God loves the world so much that he sent Jesus for us. God, if there's anybody doubting that today, I pray that they would take an act of faith, an act of trust, and step into the light. God, would you release us from the darkness into your glorious light? In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.